We know that many of you are working from home. I'm anchoring the news tonight from my dining room. And joining us live now is Dr. Janet Lenningham, Dean at Hofstra University School of Business, who knows a two or thing about this. She has taught on the topic of remote learning and working. Dr. Lenningham, first off, are you working remotely tonight?
I absolutely am.
For a lot of us, working at home is a whole new universe. Tell us about how a worker achieves that separation between their home and the office when the office is now in their home.
You know, you're absolutely right. It's difficult enough to make the transition to working remotely when it's planned. But now, when it's done as quickly as so many of us had to do, it really can become even more challenging. And I think one of the biggest misnomers out there about teleworking is that it's actually easier to balance work and life, and that's actually not true. It can be much harder. And when we add in now the additional stressors of having to homeschool children or worry about caring for elderly parents, it really can be much more of a challenge. And so there's lots of advice out there in terms of, you know, let's say sticking to a schedule, for example, and that's critically important. But you really have to be very specific about that schedule now. So, you know, for example, if you're homeschooling a high schooler and, you know, they need help with chemistry and trigonometry or whatever subjects they're taking, you know, you want to actually block out a period of time in your calendar. Maybe it's 11 to 11:30 in the morning where you say, okay, I'm going to sit with my high schooler and go over those questions. But what you really want to be thinking about also is, you know, even if you happen to remember your chemistry and trigonometry, don't give them the answers, right? But show them how to use resources that are available to get to those answers, because now you're developing another competency in them, right? And that's the ability to be resourceful, something that will serve them well, certainly throughout their lives. And, you know, one of the other challenges I think a lot of people have for telecommuting, it can be very isolating. You know, when you're in an office, you have the option, you know, you have the ability constantly to organically bump into someone. And, you know, you're at the coffee machine and you're in the elevator and you start chatting and you develop those relationships. But when you're telecommuting, you can feel very isolated. And so the key is to make sure you attend to your network, right? And you have to be intentional about this. So reach out to a colleague and say, hey, let's have a virtual lunch, or let's have a virtual coffee break, or better yet, let's go, you know, both of us put on some kind of video conferencing on our phone and let's go out for a virtual walk. But the key is that when you're doing this, don't talk about work. Really just share what's happening in your life. There's so many stressors that we're all under. And it's those connections when we can share those types of experiences that deepen, right, the relationships that we have within our network. It's also critically important to take time to look to expand your network. Reach out to colleagues that you don't normally work with and see if you can get on their calendar for a quick 15-minute video conference. Again, it's an opportunity to stay connected with each other, and that's really critically important as a teleworker.
And to your point about isolation, we have this added element of isolation. We're not supposed to go out and see people.
Exactly.
I'm not sure that you had ever planned for that in your courses and in your teaching. I mean, this is a whole new added element to that isolation.
You're absolutely right. And that's why those opportunities for, you know, virtual connections are so important, and not just around work. I think it seems like Zoom now has become a verb, right? We're Zooming with each other, right? Video conferencing all the time. And we do that for work. And we can't forget to do that for social purposes as well, you know, and really take an opportunity to practice mindfulness. There's a lot of research that suggests that, you know, mindfulness is a very important way that we can reduce the amount of stress we feel in our lives and build up our resiliency. And right now we're all under enormous stress. And so find ways to be mindful, to be thankful, you know, about something that's happened, you know, in the craziness that is our world right now. You know, find little things during the day that you can be thankful about. I'll give you an example. You know, many of us have children home and we're homeschooling and we have grammar school and high school students. And normally, if you think about it, you're probably, you know, barely seeing them because who's running the soccer practice or who's running the dance lesson and who's at a play date. And you know, you're probably, if you're anything like my household, you know, throwing meals together and everyone's kind of running in each direction. Well, now all of a sudden we find that we're having a lot of family meals together, right? Be mindful of that and be thankful for that. It will help reduce your stress and refocus some of that anxiety.
Well, we're talking about everything from a worker's point of view. Let's flip the switch here to a manager's point of view. You run an office. All of your workers are spread out. They're Zooming in. They're on Slack. How do you keep up the morale of the office when there's no office there?
That's such a great question. And it's something that leaders really have to pay attention to. They have to nurture the culture. You know, organizations worked very hard to build strong organizational cultures, and they can't ignore it now. So they have to find ways. Again, it's that connection, right? And you're hearing some of this that leaders, teams are trying to do, right? Infuse some humor into what's happening. You know, maybe you start the meeting, one of your virtual meetings with, you know, tell everybody that day to wear their college sweatshirt or have a competition on who bought the most toilet paper, right? I mean, or, you know, not having a personal services appointments any longer, so none of us could get our hair dyed or haircut, or you know, make light of what's happening and find ways to just for a moment in the beginning of that meeting just to relax, right, and just find ways to connect with each other. You know, even using the virtual backgrounds, maybe you have everybody that particular day put on a place on their bucket list that they've always wanted to visit, and let that be the virtual background. Start the meeting by saying, hey, you know, why would you want to go visit that place? Anything. It doesn't really matter what it is, but the key is to make sure you're establishing that personal connection with your team. And remember to be a good listener. I mean, this is true always of leadership, but under times of enormous stress like we're facing right now, it's critically important. People are feeling very, very uneasy. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of emotions that are running so high. Be empathetic. Practice your emotional intelligence. Really make sure you're listening. A lot of employees would not have chosen to work from home, and they're not comfortable doing so. Pay attention to what they're saying and help remove roadblocks for them. Brainstorm with them if there's challenges that they're facing. Show them that you're a partner and that you're invested in their success.
Okay, Dr. Janet Lenihan, Dean at Hofstra University School of Business, thank you so much for joining us tonight with this insight into this whole new world for so many of us working from home.